Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
To a very familiar passage of Scripture found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37 and verse 1. Ezekiel 37 and verse 1. And when you find it, shall praise the Lord. As you're turning there, we're going to say we're glad to see Susan, who has a birthday the 16th. And also, Brother Vernon has a birthday, and we have some others that are having birthdays this week. But we honor Sister Susan. It's always a treat to see her in service with us. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, if you found it, say, I found it. It'll be on your screen for your convenience, but always bring your Bible with you. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Someone say, prophesy upon these bones. And he said unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will breathe, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Amen? Today's message is simply entitled, What does the occasion demand? What does the occasion demand? Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's ask God's blessings. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. Your word is so powerful, Father. And right now, even though I struggle with brain fog and getting my words out completely and strong, you're able to help me through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Father, today that this word will go forth in power, and Lord, that you would be seen, not me, but you would be seen. So let this word fall on good ground to bring forth much fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I'm going to begin this first segment, and I'm going to show you something on the screen. It was the English-born American founding father. His name was Thomas Paine. It'll be on your screen. He was the author of a writing and a book called Common Sense. Maybe you have heard of this book, or maybe you have read it before. Thomas Paine was so inspirational in the American Revolution. He is considered our founding father. He left a call that I had read just a few weeks ago the other day. I had read this call, and I believe it's still real today as it was a couple of hundred years ago. On December 23rd, 1776, in a paper called The American Crisis, Thomas Paine began with these words. And this is why his paper began, Pastor Carl. He wrote these words. He said, "These are the times that try men's souls." Can anybody say that we are in those times today? These are the times that try men's souls. And toward the end of his paper, The American Crisis, Thomas Paine wrote, he said, if there must be trouble, and it'll be on your screen, if there must be trouble, let it be in my day, that my child may have peace. And this single reflection, well applied, is sufficient to awaken every man to duty. Think about that. If there must be trouble, let it happen in my day, so my children will have peace. I think of that and how that echoes and reverberates in my spirit. I want you to come back to me, Caleb. How that quote in itself is so powerful. I want to see my children have peace in their life. Not struggle as we have been struggling. We've seen them. It's a shame that we have went through so much chaos and crisis in the past several years. And our children were forced to do things that we normally never thought they would be forced to do. Wearing masks and having to be secluded and missing out on education and being forced to go outside and to do all these other things that normal children should never have to be subjected to. And yet it took place. And so my point simply is this morning, America is in a crisis. America is in a crisis. The crisis is not just financial. The crisis is not just political. It's not just racial. It's not just religious. America is in a crisis for our children. If the church doesn't help, we will lose our children to drug cartels. If the church does not help, we will lose our children to pedophiles and to sex traffickers. It's almost daily that I read or get a notification from friends in other states or even Central Arkansas of a child, and it's usually a young girl that has vanished, that is missing. America's in a crisis. I want to read to you a prediction. This prediction was actually fulfilled 150 years after it was made. Listen to what Isaiah writes. Isaiah 39 and verse 6. He writes, and it'll be on your screen. He says, "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house." Listen to what he says. "All that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall be taken away. And they," look what it says, "and they shall be eunuchs in a palace of the king of Babylon." That is so important for us to know today. This is a prediction by Isaiah the prophet that would take place 150 years in the life of a man, a young man by the name of Daniel. Look, this prediction that came to pass. Look what is written in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3. This is Daniel's day, and it says, "And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of what? Of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and the king's seed, and the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of king's meat, of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, at the end thereof they might stand before the king." These children were becoming conditioned. These children were becoming groomed. These children were being prepared for the king. And who was the one in control? Who was the one in charge of preparing these children? His name was Aspenaz. He was a prince. He was a leader. He was a chief of the eunuchs. This is exactly what Isaiah had prophesied. He said, "There's your men, your young men, your children are going to be handed over to this person that's going to take their lives and distort their lives. If he can't get them physically, he'll try everything to get them mentally or emotionally or even spiritually." The coming in to these children. Can anybody guess in Daniel's day who were these Jewish Israeli children? Who were they? Who were they? Who were these children that were being targeted? They were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, we get so excited, Pastor Carl, about preaching the three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace, don't we? We get so excited about Jesus as the fourth man in the fire, but we fail. We're missing something here. We get so excited about Daniel, a child, a very wise child, a very wise young man, and yet he's thrown in a den of lions. And we get so excited and we preach how God can shut the mouth of lions, but we fail to look back. Why are these children being persecuted and sent to death? We fail to realize the significance of what these children were up against. Do you know what these children were up against? You just read it. I just read it. They were being brought forth into this chief, this ruler of the eunuchs. These children were up against sexual mutilation. Did you know that? That's what they were facing. They were up against Aspenaz, the master of eunuchs. Please, someone, you're a lot smarter than I am, but please, someone, explain to me why Drag Queen Hour doesn't read their short stories to the blind. Why don't they read their short stories to the homeless, to the nursing homes, to the VA hospitals? Why do they only target our children? Can you explain that to me? Why are they doing that? To what does this occasion demand? To what does this occasion demand? The same Babylonian spirit that targeted Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same spirit that is targeting our children, but they're coming in different forms. I hope that you recognize what's happening in these last days. Happening right now, this moment, as I speak to you behind this sacred desk, our children are facing a number of attacks. I don't know if they're on their screen, but if they are, put them up there. They are facing puberty blockers. They're facing hormones therapy. They're facing castration. Our children are facing breast augmentation, vaginoplasty, phalloplasty, voice therapy, hair removal, tracheal shave. They're facing also, which I referred to, drag queen hours, and then also sex trafficking. So who are the ones responsible for these vile mutilations to our children? I mean, they're already coming out, the psychiatrists. They're already coming out and talking about the horrible damage that it's doing to these children who said, well, I wasn't born a boy, I was born a girl, and is having these changes, and they're finding out how horrible this is affecting these children, their minds and their lives. I even read the other day of someone in their late 80s that had undergone a sex change when they were a lot younger. And how they said it completely ruined their life. Who is responsible for these vile attacks against our children? Is it the politicians? Is it Hollywood? Is it the country and music stars? Is it the pop stars? Is it the R&B stars? Is it the college professors? Is it elementary teachers? Is it CEOs and CFOs of billion-dollar corporations? Is it YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or other social media influencers? Is it the porn industry? Is it stars from the NFL, the NBA, the WNBA, the PGA, the MLB, or is it Olympians? Is it the preachers? Is it church leaders? Is it Sunday school teachers? Is it the Boy or Girl Scout leaders? Is it moms and dads who are responsible for these mutilations, these attacks to our children? I digress. We can point fingers all day long. I can build my soapbox and tell you, well, it's this and it's that. And I can point and unveil all of the sin that is going on in our world and in our church. And I could do all I can do, but I've had enough of just preaching the problem. I've had enough of just hearing people talking about the problem. Give me somebody that has a solution. I need to hear somebody that has an answer. And my friend, the only one that I know has an answer, he went to the cross. He bled and died for you and I. He was the only one worthy in the book of Revelation to open up the book that was sealed in Daniel's day. Thank God today that we have a Savior, a Lord, a true King of Kings that has given us a solution to the chaos and the crisis that's going on in our world. Thank God we have an advocate of the Father that says, I will stand between them and the sin, and I will stand between them and the Father, and I will say, look, they've given my blood for these people, and they are redempted because of the covenant that I made with the Father. Can somebody shout today for Jesus? He is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So no, I am not going to stand today and point fingers. But my question that I will ask is, what are you going to do about it? What? You cannot run and hide anymore. What are you going to do about it? You're going to be accountable. Everyone in this room is going to be accountable. You can't run and hide. You can't come up with any more excuses. Those excuses will not fly anymore. Look at the damage. Listen, you can pray all you want, but if there's not any faith and action and you doing something with it, and you know, with faith without works is dead. If you're not involved and rolling your sleeves up and saying, look, I want to be a part. I'm willing to go and pick children up and take it to a church. It shouldn't just rely on one person. I'm willing to come and teach them and help them. I'm willing to give them a hug and share with them Jesus. You cannot run anymore from it. You cannot hide. Where are you going to hide? What are you going to do in these last days? What are you going to say in these last days? What are you going to do about it? What does the occasion demand? I believe God is telling us, Pastor Brother Vernon, I believe God is telling this, Pastor Carl, Pastor Jamie, Pastor Crystal, Sister Charlotte, I believe Leader, Sister Linda, the Oliveris, I believe God is telling us something, Sister Donna, I believe God is telling us something, and He's telling us right now. I believe this is a fresh Rhema word of God. You may want to write it down somewhere, but I believe God is telling us right now, be wise with our time. Be wise with our time. Be wise with the moments that God has given us. We're letting these wonderful moments that we have together slip through because we're so consumed with everything else. And God is calling you and I back to unity, back to prayer, back to Him, and say, be wise with your time. The day is short. The night is growing on us, and we must work while it's day. Let's get busy, and let's see Blytheville. Let's see them get a revival that we've never seen before. Well, God bless the two of you that clapped. That's the only answer is not a new motel to Blytheville. The only answer is Jesus. The authentic move of God. That demonic Babylon spirit that Isaiah prophesied about that came to pass 150 years later in Daniel's day, that Babylon spirit is the same spirit attacking our children today. It's the same spirit here today. Recently on a Wednesday night, it's been several Wednesday nights ago, we had prayer, and we're going to do it again the end of this month. We had prayer time with our children and our adults that were there. You prayed too. Thank you for being here and praying. But I asked an important question to everyone that was here, and I asked him this simple question. I said, can your prayers open prison doors? I asked, can the church's prayer open prison doors? Acts 12 and 5, if you remember the story, the Bible says, Peter, therefore, it should be on your screen, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and the God for him. And so what happened? They were praying. The church was praying because Peter was in prison. And all of a sudden, Peter became free. God sent an earthquake. God freed Peter and those that were around them. I believe if we fail to pray that the iron gates will open for our preachers, we may be praying from behind iron gates. The apostles had no gold, but lots of glory. We have lots of gold, but no glory. We're in a fight. We are in a fight. Just as Israel is in a fight, the church today, this morning, is in a fight. We're in a fight. Oh no, we're not just fighting the forces of the devil. We're not just fighting his imps and his evil tactics. We're fighting what is called that we don't care anymore. We're fighting a lukewarm spirit. We're fighting laziness. We're fighting the flesh. We're fighting the spirit of, as John said, there's a people who say they're rich and need of nothing. We're fighting an ideology that we've accepted and saying, oh, the church is fine. It's just us four no more, and we're just all going to make it to heaven. You're not promised that. This nation could turn worse than you've ever thought. When I drove through Jonesboro, actually rode with my wife through Jonesboro yesterday, I had never witnessed the number of protesters. The traffic was backed up all the way from, I don't know how far west it went, but I saw at Olive Garden, it was backed up all the way to the bridge over the railroad track at Highland. And thank God that it was peaceful. Thank God there wasn't any attacks and fights and people taking their cars and running over bystanders. Thank God. But who says that cannot happen? We live in a wretched day. America is in a crisis. Leonard Ravenhill wrote, one of the greatest preachers of all time, modern day preachers, he wrote this, it'll be on your screen. When we get humble enough and low enough and desperate enough and hungry enough and concerned enough and passionate enough and broken enough and clean enough, it should be on your screen, and prayerful enough, then God will send us a revival that equals and surpasses any awakening of this country. We must begin to have a passion and hunger. I have said this for years after years after years, Pastor Carl. I went back to my notes when I preached the spirit of confusion, and I began to talk about if we do not change, the only reason they want to legalize, and this was way before the judgment, the Supreme Court ruling of gay marriage. This was way before that when I preached the spirit of confusion. And I told you that the only reason they want to legalize same-sex marriage is so eventually adults can have sex with children. And that is the plan. That is the end game. They want to mutilate and destroy our children. And we can't sit back on our seats and pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, we had a good service. Oh, didn't Pastor JC? No, it's time to roll our sleeves up, like I said, get out of these four walls and get into the city and say, we will stand for what is righteous and what is good, and God will go before us, because no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue shall rise up against us, he shall condemn. Is anybody with me today? What does the occasion demand? So this brings me to my life point. My life point is simple. It's be on your screen. Make your plans big if God is your partner. What does the occasion demand? Make your plans big. Oliver's family, make your plans big if God is your partner. Sister Susan, make your plans big if God is your partner. Hear me, Barfield family. Brother John, listen to me, church. Listen to me, Brother Vernon. Listen to me, Dixon family. Listen to me, Wajardo family. Listen to me today. If God is your partner. Make your plans big. Dream much bigger. Don't just settle for the norm. Don't just do what every other church is doing, because whatever other church is doing is not working. I want to see a move of God. I want to see God shake the very foundations of Gospel Lighthouse Church in the dreams that I've had when I was a youth pastor praying down in the Koinonia room and believing God to bring a revival. I believe God sent me back for such a time as this, that God has something great in store for this city, and He's looking for somebody that's willing to pay and pray the price and say, "We, thus saith the Lord," we're speaking and prophesying to these dry bones, "Thus saith the Lord, let the breath of God from the north, the south, the east, and the west, let the breath of God breathe upon these dry bones. We can't do nothing unless we have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, again in our lives and in our service." What does the occasion demand? What does the occasion demand? Saturday, July 13th, 6:05 p.m., you may remember this, almost a year ago, President Trump, he takes the stage at Butler Farms. 6:08 p.m., a police dash camera catches a gentleman on a roof. At 6:11, a local policeman is boosted up on the roof, encounters this gentleman with a rifle pointed directly at him. Immediately, he drops down. 25 seconds later, 8 minutes into President Trump's speech, this gentleman begins firing. At least 8 rounds were fired from this gentleman, and at 6:12 p.m., one spectator was killed protecting his children. Two others were critically injured, and this other gentleman was taken out by Secret Service sniper. And yes, there's still questions, but the main question is this. Are you ready for this? How does the lukewarm church look now after the incident in Butler, Pennsylvania? How does this lukewarm church, on we've pat ourselves on the back, look what we've done, how do we look now, almost 1 year later? How do we look now? What does the occasion demand? What does the occasion demand? Ezekiel 37 said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knows." Make your plans big if God is your partner. Make your plans big if God is your partner. I believe today God's got an army. I watched yesterday the parade, the however many years birth of the U.S. Army. I watched it in Washington, D.C. I just checked it out. I wanted to see what's going on, and I thought about that army. But then I thought about us. God's got an army. Much greater. Much more forcible than this natural army. But I've realized that before we can go to war, we must be equipped. We must be ready for battle. Are we ready for battle? Can your prayers open prison doors? Are you ready? If God were to call you to the front line, and I really believe, honest to God, I really believe this, Sister Linda, I believe Gospel Lighthouse Church is on the front line. I believe we are a church unlike any other church. I believe that we are blessed to be able to stay where we're at and do what God has called us to do, and to reach out to a community where other churches have fled this community. Call it white flight, you can call it all you want to call it. But this church decided, no, we're going to be a lighthouse in a darkened community. People are good. Generally, people are good. Why are you running from good people then? God has called us here. for such a time as this? What does the occasion demand? Ezekiel 37 and verse 4, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones. Everybody say, O ye dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause, oh my Lord, I'm feeling it right now from the back of my head. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. There's a lot of churches today are doing a lot of jumping around. They're having to enhance their service to attract people. But I'm not about attracting people. I've never have been. I'm about attracting God. If God's not here, I don't want to be here. I'm about attracting God's presence. I'm about when I walk in this room, whether it's hot or cold, it doesn't matter if the screen works or not, if the computer runs slow, doesn't matter. God, if you're here, this is where I want to be. I want to be where God is at. The only way to battle successfully is to have the breath of God breathe upon us. Gospel Lighthouse, that's the only way. There's a lot of jumping around, but there's no breath of God. There's no life. On Sunday morning, on this Sunday morning, June 15th, 2025, Father's Day, I submit to you, it's all about the children. It's all about the children. This Father's Day message is all about the children. As Thomas Paine wrote, he said, these are the times that try men's souls. These are the times that try men's souls. If there must be trouble, let it be in my day that my children, that my child, that my daughter, that my sons, that my children may have peace. And this single reflection, well applied, is sufficient to awaken every man to duty. Make your plans big if God is your partner. So what does this occasion demand? I want all of our fathers to come and stand before this communion table at these altars. Every father in this room right now. This is the word, and it's going to be on your screen. And this is word for the church. And I want you to take a picture of it. Write it down. Come in close, guys. There's not that many of us. Come in close. I want us all to stand here. What does the occasion demand, men? You're men of God. You're mighty men of God. Every one of you are. You're mighty men of God. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to be ashamed about. You're here. You're doing what a majority of fathers did not do today. You came and brought your family to church. You're here because you love God. Pastor Crusoe, I need you to come to the piano or somebody and just play softly. But this is the word, and I'm going to put it on the screen. This is the word for Gospel Lighthouse Church. The answer is not a bigger church or more money. The answer is a true move of God. Leave that up there for a moment. The answer is not more people. The answer is not more money. The answer is a true move of God. How many can say, what does the occasion demand? It demands a true, genuine, authentic move of God. For decades, it was the women that led the church. For decades, it was the women that raised the funds. For decades, it was the women that had the meetings. It was decades for the women that would come and pray, take care of the children. God's calling you men to be mighty men of valor. Stand strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Because you've got much ground to cover. You've got much ground to cover. You have many to influence. You have a lot of souls that you're going to bring to Christ. You have every opportunity to do so. What does the occasion demand? I have before me 10 prayers. Now, men, I want you to pay attention to this. I have 10 prayers for dads who need God's strength. How many of you dads can say, I need God's strength? I do every day. I'm going to give these to you. And this is what I want. It's going to take a commitment. But I want you to take these prayers. You don't have to every day. But I want you to commit to these prayers. I want you to commit. And when we come back together, Lord willing, Father's Day 2026, look around. Things are going to be different. Things are going to be better. Things are going to be greater. Because you have become a man of integrity, a man of influence, a promise keeper, a man that can take charge and say, I'm going to stand for God. And I'm not playing around anymore. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lamon, will you come here? I have a word for Pastor Carl, and I'm going to share it with him privately. But I want you to hand these out to these fellas. If there's not enough, I can always make more. These are the prayers. There are 10 of them. Prayers for new dads. Prayers for single dads. Prayers for dads facing marriage challenges. Prayers for dads dealing with health crisis. Prayers for dads grieving a deep loss. Prayers for dads seeking freedom from addiction. Prayers for dads under financial pressure. Prayers for dads wrestling with depression and anxiety. Prayers for dads with strained relationships with their children. And prayers for dads who feel spiritually empty or lost. Jose, let our brother know. Jose, let him know that I will translate it in Espanol, ASAP. Okay? I'll put it in. Everybody have one? All right, guys. Come together. Let's be men of promise today. Come together and hold each other. Let's do it like this. It's kind of sissy holding hands. Lock arms. There you go. Lock arms. Woo, I need somebody to get a picture of this. I'm getting chills watching these men. Lock arms. I believe God can double this and triple this, Brother Vernon, by next year. Lock arms. All right. You got your dad. Come on up, children. You got your dad. I'm going to come down here by Lamont. You come on up, children. Get behind your dad. Get behind somebody. One of these men, if they don't have somebody, you get behind them. You start praying for them right now. Come on, guys.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.